Tzadik, page Tes Vav on the bottom. The Muttal is discussing the Pella, the greatest wonder of all. It's the Metzius of Kedushas Yisrael, of Kedushas Yisrael. The Tzadikim, the Talmi of Hashem, made this into a very, very big sugya. How to see a Jew, the Inyan of Ahavas Yisrael, and Kedushas Yisrael. That there could be such a Metzius, even in our times, of people like ourselves, who still remember the Bari Olam, and are trying to be better, and trying to keep mitzvahs, to learn, and to daven. This Nakuda of Kedushas Yisrael in Teres Achsidus, we learned, is equated with Emun and Hashem. Belief in the Chelek Elokom Yimal that's inside each and every Jew. It's the godless of the Tzaddik and the Talmid Baal Shem, was to be able to live with that, to see that, each and every person. And we were learning last week that the stories that we have, famous stories about these tzaddikim who befrat in this inyan of Ahavas Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael and understanding Kedushas Yisrael, such as the Baditshva and other tzaddikim like that, that the stories that we have are not stam, cute little maiselach, but are themselves being megala, this yisoid in Teres of Alshah, Kedushas Yisrael and Ahavas Yisrael. And even in our generation in recent times, so on the right side, on the bottom there, where it says, Madregas et Tzadik, Mamidas Ahavis Yisrael, Ubasagas Kedushas Yisrael, Vahoylanu Somach Ladarenu. It was in our time. The Belz Rebbe is only Nifta 56 years ago, 57 years ago. Vahoylanu Somach Ladarenu, Dugma Latzadik Shahib Madregazu. Vuharav HaKadosh Rebaron Mibels. Shayinir B'chush Shahir Kamalach B'Olam Hazeh. When we say there are stories of Rebaron Bells or Rebaron LeBels, these are not stories from 200 years ago, from 250 years ago. There are many, many Jews, Baruch Hashem, who are alive and well, who as adults saw the Bells of Rebbe. The Lubavitch Rebbe Schuskilin has said about him, about Rabbi Lebelzer, when he saw him, afterwards he remarked, the Lubavitch Rebbe, who was very careful with every word, he said that he's Tzura Anchaim, that he's the Tzura, he's a Neshama without anything physical, without Chaim. It's like a Malach Hashem, Rabbi Lebelzer. V'hayam mufla b'midazu, and tafka this tzaddik, Rabbi Lebelzer, who l'chola days, the chassidim and the misnagdim and the svardim, when it came to Rabbi Lebelzer, who was across the board, the recognition of this person as the tzaddik hador, tzaddik yisod olam, Rabbi Lebelzer. My father, Zal Gezun, I remember seeing him when he was escaping from Hungary, when the Belzer was escaping from Hungary. My father remembers the Shabbos that Rabbi Lebelzer was in my father's city, when only a few Jews were able to go, and it happened that a relative of my father, Rabbi Fol Stern, was the one who was being metapel, was taking care of the Rebbe when he was in town. And my father said that for his entire life he can't get out of his head that picture, what he saw of the Belzer Rebbe wearing a trench coat and with his beard off. And he was holding his face and he was crying, he was embarrassed. And my father said that when he was a young man, Rabbi Lebelzer was not Lama Alma Hadei, not from this world. And Davka that tzaddik, Ho hayamufla b'midah zuli reis kedushas Yisrael b'chol Yehudi, he was unique in the way that he looked at Jews and the way that he saw the Kedusha of a Jew, Ba'asher hu, whatever Madrega that person was on. The very fact that there's a tzaddik like this in the world. Again, he was Nifter 1957. Is itself Eidus. Bears testimony that there's something in this world that comes from another world. Kedushas Yisrael. V'lo haya ha-tzaddik ha-yachid. And Rabbi Aaron Belzer was not the only tzaddik. Rabbi Arla Belzer was when we got a taste of, in our days, of a tzaddik from the earlier time. And all the tzaddikim agreed that Rabbi Arla Belzer wasn't from this generation, it was from a different time. And those who were in his Dalet Amos saw that he had no shaykh to this world. I mean, I don't know if any of you have seen a little bit from the Belzer, from Barrel of Belzer. He's told us what it was like, how he slept, or didn't sleep, and how he ate and didn't eat, and the whole way that he slept, and how he would sleep only for 2 or 3 minutes, and he was saying all kinds of things while he was sleeping, and his hanhagis when he was sleeping in the middle of his. Of the 5 minutes of sleeping, he was doing things, washing and different things in the middle while he was sleeping. He had no shaykhus to this world. Everything that he did was mekuvan, was connected to something beyond this world. Every single word, every single movement of the Baruch LeBelzer was not from this world, had something to do with the other world. A moshel anasa ba'il masal yoinim. It was a moshel, everything was a moshel of mash anasa ba'il masal yoinim, of things that were going on in the higher world. Without any shaykhus to this world. Even though he was trying, he was mislabish, he enclosed himself in a human life of this world, and he went to the Beis HaKiseh, and he went and he slept a little bit, and he put some things into his mouth. The way that he ate, and every single thing that he did, was only a levush, a garment of something. A levush of something from the Olam HaSal Yarn. Ogon Shahayinoig Shalola Kachas Trufos. The whole sugya of the Belzer Rebbe when it came to medicine, when it came to taking medication. Lahayimitzavish Yikus Arife. When there was a problem and they said that he needed a doctor, so the Rebbe used to say to bring the doctor. And when the doctor would prescribe medication, it says sheyiknus atrufus shumitzar loses. And he told the chassidim or the gabbai that he should go and fill the prescription, that they'll go to the drugstore to take care of it and bring the medicine. Avlamai said loy lo kach zois, but he didn't ever take the medication. The doctor would come, and the prescription was given, and the Belzer would say to go pick up the prescription, and. And he didn't take the medicine. The strangest thing is, I remember reading about this, that the Belzer Rebbe used to take the medicine that was prescribed. This, I guess, is illegal. But the Belzer Rebbe used to say that, used to send as a shlich, you take the medicine for me. That Jew had to have the medicine for him. There's a din in the Torah of Rapa Yerape, that a doctor is given reshus to heal. And the Belzer Rebbe did not want to go against the Pasuk in Torah, Rapa Yerape, that there's a doctor and that there's a derech hateva. And he wanted to accomplish whatever this mitzvah of rapa yirape, of whatever somehow that is in the Olam HaSalyonim, and with the kavanas of taking care of the body, as Hashem commanded in the Torah. So, v'hayyosh mitnai ha-mitzvah, he should tzarech lasos gam eze pu'ula b'olam hazeh. And that mitzvah of rapa yirape is saying, is telling us that we have to make a hishtadlus in this world. We have to do something. You can't just sit there, God forbid, and die. You have to try to do something. Alkein osa sapula hanidreshes. Therefore, the Belz Rebbe did what was to be done b'derech hateva. The karol arayfe v'shoma b'kolo. And the doctor would come, and he would talk to the Belz Rebbe, and the Belz Rebbe would sit there and listen. But then he would appoint a shlich to take his medicine. Or whatever food or whatever it was that he was supposed to be eating. He would make sure that someone else would do it, but Torah Shlichus for him. Now you could ask a million kashas on that. Bechlal, the whole Hagdorah of Rapa Yirape. And what does it mean that someone else should take the refu and not you, on your behalf? His whole life was a sight. The Belz Rebbe's life, everything about him was a sight, was a mystery. Everything that he did was with the Yichudim, with Kavanas. And everything was an exalted matter. Everything in his life was something from above. One could see. Next time, if you, I know some of you go shopping by the swarms, the big lights, you could ask the Reb Moshe, you could ask him. He remembered. He learned in Belz, and he was by the Belz Rebbe. He remembers. He'll tell you stories what he saw by the Belz Rebbe. It's not so long ago. All of this is besides the open Ruach HaKodesh, the things that he said to people, and we had by the Milchama. And my wife was just reading something she told me about. There was a family that in Budapest, when the Rebbe was there, and they took the Rebbe in, and the Rebbe was staying there, the whole thing was not b'derech hateva. The Nazis were going all over Hungary looking for him. And he was staying in Budapest in an apartment. There were police and Germans and Russia all over the place. And he was staying in this place by these Jews, and he told them not to worry, which was a sakana, you know, to be out in the open like that. And then he told them, I forgot that was exact lashon in the book, but what the Rebbe told him, that he'll survive the Milchama, and how he'll survive, and that where he should go and walk on the street and not to be afraid. And this Jew went walking there in the middle of all the Nazis, and the Belz Rebbe said to him, don't worry, you just go over there, and you walk through here and go. And he told him where to go, and this Yid went with the whole Chassidish thing, and he walked right through there. And there are many, many, many stories of this. The Belz Rebbe like this, the Zruh HaKadosh. But what's the point of bringing Davke about the Belz Rebbe? So he says, "V'hu ha'yalei mida zu." In our days, he had this mida like the Bedichtva had back then. Sheyochel ha'hamlet schus hafilo ala chavshi v'harosh ha'gadol b'yoyser v'amachal le'shabbos. Rabbi Aaron Belzer would find something to say to be melamed schus on every Jew, on the biggest rishayim, on the biggest machal le'shabbos. We spoke about this. That it once happened, it was Shabbos afternoon, and the Belz Rebbe lived in Tel Aviv, and there was some Chil Shabbos that took place. So he said such a strange thing. So the Belz Rebbe said, so the Chassidim were looking at this with obvious disapproval, that somebody's Mechal Shabbos. And the Belz Rebbe said, the Mestama, these Jews, these people here, that they're doing this on Shabbos, they must be the Chassidim of Rav. What is that? For Ochlim b'shitaso shel Rav, the Rav, totally shel Motzei Shabbos b'Shabbos. Because Rav used to daven, used to say, Atochen Antonu, he used to say, even before, he held that you could say, Atochen Antonu, even before this man. Mestama Christ, Paulu was atfilo shel Motzei Shabbos b'Shabbos v'hivdilu. So Mestama, the Belz Rebbe would say, this was Shabbos afternoon, so this can't work Friday night. Or early in the morning Shabbos, but Shabbos afternoon there was somebody Mechal Shabbos, and the Belz Rebbe said, "Ah, Mestama, he holds like Rav." And Rav said, "You could say Atochen Antonu, you could make Havdalah, you could say Atochen Antonu before it gets dark." you're not allowed to do melacha, right? If God, you're not allowed to do melacha. You're allowed to say atechan antonu, but you can't do melacha. So the Rebbe said, no, I'll came toyim heim. Since they said atechan antonu, and they said the nusach of atechan antonu, so they made a mistake. And they made a mistake. Lachshav shukva etzlam chol. They got mixed up, and they thought that it's already after Shabbos. So now anybody that hears that, like, you feel bad for the Rebbe, you know. Like, everybody knows that's not it. And you ask the guy that's in his car, driving, you know, back from the beach with his kids on Shabbos, they'd say, no, I don't hold like Rav. I never heard of Rav. I don't hold like Rav. And I got news for you. I don't make Havdalah. And my not making Havdalah is L'chol HaDeis, I don't make Havdalah. And I know it's 100% it's Shabbos. That's why I went to the beach. Because I'm off. It's Shabbos. And there's no mistake at all that I thought that maybe it's not Shabbos because I said something in Davening. Wait, and therefore I think it's after Shabbos. There are many stories like this with him. There are many stories like this that he said to be Lamed Schus to find all kinds of excuses to for up the way that this Jew is acting with strange things, very, very exaggerated, unusual things that he would say on that Jew that Mistami he holds like this, Mistami holds like that. How could he say such a thing that he held like Rav? He was talking about a person's Mechal Shabbos. He's saying that he held like Rav. Mestami holds like Rav, and he davened already at Chen Anton when he forgot the Shabbos. Ubemisal pipshat ain lezamuvan. Al pipshat, there's no way to explain these strange things that the Belz Rav used to say. There are many, many things like this that he used to say. And when someone would say something negative about a Jew, the Belz Rav would become sick and he couldn't eat for 2-3 days. The little that he ate, he couldn't eat when he heard a bad thing about a Jew. And Rabbi Motel says, I'm not trying to explain. I can't think. Who could explain this? But he said pshat that he thought that this Mechal Shabbos that was held like Rav. I mean, I'll be pshat, it's ridiculous. If there was a Sanhedrin, if there was a Beis HaMikdash, and the Sanhedrin was brought this situation, and there was a proper warning, there was a proper hasra, and it was with Edom, and this guy's Mechal Shabbos, he can't say, and nobody could say, Alimut Schos, that Mestami holds like Rav. He would be Chayv Skila. He would be put to death in Bezdin, this guy. And nobody could say such a thing. It's ridiculous. Who could say that Mestami, this Jew, is one of the Chassidim of Rav? And we go back to what we were talking about the Maisa with the Beditshua, with the guy that was with his tefillin greasing up the wheel of the wagon. There's a world that you and I live in, it's called Olam HaPshat. We live in that world. Just like there are four worlds, basic, Atzilus, B'Yetzias, Siyah. There's Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. And we live in the Olam HaPshat. And Lefi, the Olam HaPshat, this guy coming back from the beach on Shabbos, this guy's a Mechal Shabbos. And if there would be Edom, there'd be Hasra, and it would be a Sanhedrin, he'd be Chayv Skila. And the Olam HaPshat, you can't say such things. In Bezdin, nobody could talk that way in Bezdin. But Rabbi Arla Belzer and other tzaddikim like that lived in a different world. They looked ki'ilu, they were in the Olam HaPshat, and Rabbi Arla Belzer was like the Baba Trevi said, that he saw in him like a, there wasn't a body. But he was walking and breathing in this physical world. But the world that Be'emes he lived in was not the Olam HaPshat. He lived in a world of sight, in a different world. He wasn't saying this, like we learned last week from the B'dit Shavuos. He wasn't saying this because it's a cute thing to say in another person, some sort of a limud schus. I'm Istam, he's from the Chassidim of Rav. But he knows he's not from the Chassidim of Rav. The guy's Michal Shabbos. That wasn't the world that the Belzer Rebbe lived in. So what world did he live in? He lived in the world of the Pnimius of that Jew. And in that world of the Soid, of that guy coming back from the beach, that guy coming back from the beach is a Jew, and inside of him there's a Chelek al Kamimal, and he would never ever be Michal Shabbos intentionally. And the Belzer Rebbe is right. In Pnimius, a Jew would not intentionally ever be Michal Shabbos. We have such a thing that a person's called amazing, and he's a Michal Shabbos for Hesed, and he has a halach, in many ways we treat him like a Goy Gomer, and if there would be Hasra and Edom and so on, he's put to death. In the Olam HaSaid, a Jew would never intentionally be Michal Shabbos. The fact that Al Pi Halacha in the Olam HaPshat has to go with Halacha. And therefore, in the world of Halacha, in the Olam HaPshat, in the Olam HaSiya of Pshat, a Jew like that has to be treated like a Michal Shabbos. Whatever that means in Halacha. That a person is a Michal Shabbos for Hesiyah. Whatever that means in halacha, this Jew is a Michal Shabbos. Avol yesh oylem na'ala hanikra ha'oylem shal kedushas Yisrael. But there's a different world that he lived in. The Belzer Rebbe lived in a world of kedushas Yisrael, of Soid, of kedushas Yisrael. When he looked at a Jew, he saw Nishmas Yisrael. And in that world of Nishmas Yisrael, it's Ad Leyode Ben Aharam Lo Baruch Mordechai. Even though this guy's acting like an Aharam and Dikah person, in the eyes of the Belzer Rebbe, is Baruch Mordechai. Because he was in a place of Ad Leyode Ben Aharam Lo Baruch Mordechai. When it comes to Jews, there's no Be'etzim, there's no Chilik, whether it's Aharam and Baruch Mordechai. In the world of the Belzer Rebbe, in the eyes of the Belzer Rebbe, there's no Chilik with an Aharam and Baruch Mordechai. And Rabbi Aaron Belzer was able to hear, even though this Jew was happy coming back from the beach and the kids are playing in the car and the guy's driving in his bathing suit someplace, you know, in Tel Aviv, coming back from the beach being Michal Shabbos, the Belzer Rebbe is able to hear this guy screaming, like the Murosa in the Torah in Pashat Ki Tzeitzei, that she's screaming. And therefore the Torah says, you can't punish her because she was screaming. She didn't want this really. She didn't want that anybody should, God forbid, do that to her, what happened to her, that she was taken advantage of and somebody raped her. And Rabbi Aaron Belzer was able to hear that when a Jew was doing an Aveira, that Be'emes, he was being raped by this world. It wasn't the etzem of who he was. And no one else could hear this Jew screaming. All they do is hear this guy laughing in the car. And the Belzer Rebbe is able to hear him screaming from inside. The Torah says, you don't do anything to her. Because she screamed, she cried, she didn't want this to happen. Nobody else hears such a thing. So the Jews in Shushan deserve to die. And they asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, when they manes chayvu, what were they chayv, what happened in Shushan, what did they do? So the Talmidim thought that. So Rabbi Shimon said, what do you think? So that they ate from the Suda? Nehenu misudos v'achashverosh. Right? Nehenu, they had enough from the Suda. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Nehenu, that's only, so then only the Jews that were eating from the Suda. What about everybody? How come everybody else was chayv misa? So they said, no, that they were mishtachim l'tzelem. However that works in halach, by Haman, but they bowed down to Haman, and that there was an avodah zarah there, whatever it is. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said him, "Lo also elu lifnim." They didn't really mean it; they were just faking. They were just making believe. They tried to just—they didn't really mean it. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't really kill the Jews of Shushan; he just like faked it that they're going to die. But then in the end, everything had a happy ending. Lo also elu lifnim. Rabbi Aaron Belzer came from the same world as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So the same way that when Rabbi Shimon saw there were Jews that were doing aveiros, Rabbi Shimon said, "Nah, like also el lifnim. But the Jews, then they're doing a virus, they're just fake. They don't really mean it. They just don't, they want Haman to think that they're bowing down. They're not really bowing down to any. They don't believe in Avodah Zarah. And even if the Jew would scream, what do you mean? I believe 100%. I believe in this Avodah Zarah. I worship this Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Shimon Chai says, also el lifnim. So Rabbi Shimon said, also el lifnim. K'dai Rabbi Shimon lismach lo b'shasat chak. B'shasat chak. The tzaddikim say b'shasat chak means that a Jew is in a place that's called b'shasat chak. And if Shimon is magal, kedushas Yisrael, lo also lifnim. That's where you put on outfits, costumes on Purim. Lo also lifnim. That you look at the Jew on the outside, he looks like this. That's not Betzim who he is. That world of Rabbi Shimon Chai, of Said, of Kedushas Yisrael, was the world that Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer lived in. And in that world, Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer would say that he's a Mistam, he's a Chosid of Rav. He's a Chassidim of Rav. That can't work in the Eidlam HaPshat, and Bezna, it doesn't work. And if you hold that he's a Mechal Shabbos Fahesia, then his wine, you can't drink the wine that he touched. And Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer wouldn't drink the wine. Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer kept halacha. He's a big tzaddik. Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer would say, in this person, you know, he's the chassidim of Rav, he thinks it's already after Shabbos. And everybody hears these things, and it's just strange. Le'dibai Rav HaKadosh Mibel stam dvarim ba'alma. Rabbi Aaron says, Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer didn't say stam dvarim ba'alma. He wasn't making like cracks or jokes or saying cute things. It's a very big yisod to understand the ways of the tzaddikim on our level. Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer was speaking the language of the Olam, of the Olam Hasaid. Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer spoke the language of the world in which Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lived in. It was the language of those tzaddikim who live in that world. That's how they speak. Now, if we would say that about another Jew, it would be a nice thing. But we wouldn't speak the same way about another Jew if he did something to us. Then we would all of a sudden be in the world of Pshat. Because we live in the world of Pshat, and it's a mitzvah for us to try to be down the kav schus. It's a halach, it's a din, in Shulchan Aruch, to try to be down the kav schus. The Inbar Rabbi LeBelzer and the Bedich for these tzaddikim was not the struggle to be down the kav schus. They lived in the world that's called kav schus. Because they lived in the world of Kedushas Yisrael, of the Chelek HaLekam Yimal. That's where they lived. That's how they thought. That's what they spoke. So the Bedichva says, oh, this Yid, Mardik, this Yid, even when he's wax, even when he's greasing the wheels of his wagon, he can't stop davening. He has to talk to Akadosh Baruch Hu. He's with Talzin Tefillin. So also what it means. That's, you're not allowed to do that, to walk around with the Talzin Tefillin doing stuff. In the world of the Bet Yitzchak, that was the world of Rabbi Shimon. That's the world that these tzaddikim lived in. It's a world of Kedushas Yisrael. Uba'oisa oilam gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaber kein. And the important thing to understand is that in that world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives in a secret world. The Gemara Chagiga Bate Baroi, Bate Gavoi, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a place that's called B'Mistarim Tivkanavshi, a hidden chamber that he lives in. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kel Mistater, he's hidden. And the Baruch Shalom speaks this language about Jews. Like I mentioned last week, Lehibit Oven B'Yakov, Leroma B'Yisrael. Some of these Lashonis of Hashem made their way into the Torah. It says in Torah, Lehibit Oven B'Yakov. There in that world of the Rebbein Shalom, of Rabbi Shimon, of the Beditshva, of Rebbein Lebelzer, Lehibit Oven B'Yakov, the Rebbein Shalom, Bonim Atam Lashem Elokeich. Bonim Atam Lashem Elokeich. Ba'is Ha'ilam, Gan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymer Shom Har Be'yoysim is Elein Aruch. Not only that, in that world, the Rebbein Shalom says much, much more than the Rebbein Lebelzer and Rabbi Shimon. the madregis and the milus of what a Jew is. V'shom medabim mikol Yehudi k'moshim medabim mihat tzadik agol b'yoser. In that world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the things that are said about a regular Jew are greater than anything that was said about the greatest tzadik that ever lived in this world. That's what's said in that world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the mistorm, in the hidden world of Hashem. In that world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things are said about me and you that we never saw in a tzaddik in this world. That's what's being said about us, people like us, in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This whole type of a tzaddik, this whole way of living, it's a hemshich from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the Ariya Kodesh, from that world of Pnimiyus HaTorah, to live in a place of Pnimiyus, and to make it, not just that the tzaddik, to teach it, and to talk about it, to mechazik everybody, to try it as much as possible, at least for moments here and there, to enter into that world, to be in that world, of what it means to be, of what it means to be be'emes, in that place of Kedushas Yisrael. Avi wants it before something. Yeah.
And I saw Mechanchim, Mashvim, for whoever we deal with in our lives.
I'm sorry?
As like Mechanchim or Mashvim, for whoever we deal with in our lives, if we're too much in this world, then you're not helping these other people grow.
If you're too much in this world that we're describing. Maybe you'll try. You try it. You try it. You'll see it'll be good. I'm not joking. It sounds like I'm saying also like a little a stam and Irish guy. If you try it, you'll see it'll be good. I've seen parents. There are very few people that are like that. I've seen a few. There's one that comes to my mind. That has a family of 10 children. Most of them are married by now. That he raised them in the Olam HaSechus. He raised them in Oilam Aschus. And I know you can ask a million kashas. So what's Hefker over there? The children are Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Ruim, Mamish. Unbelievable. What would happen if we would be Mechanchim Mashpiim in this world of Rabbi Arla Belzer? If we would be Be'emis like Rabbi Arla Belzer, we would be able to raise unbelievable Talmidim and children. The problem is that we would only be trying to imitate Rabbi Arla Belzer. And since children are very astute, they would catch on very quickly that my father is no Rabbi Arla Belzer. That's why it wouldn't work. But that's why you're right. There would be huge problems with this kind of a Rebbe, this kind of a teacher. And again, you could ask all different, there are many, many questions. The Gemara says, Zreik Mora B'Talmidim. Right? We're looking about Zerik Marbet. You're supposed to give a Talmud a patch. I mean, not to hit, but you're supposed to give him Musa. And it's a kash, it says in the Torah, you're supposed to, especially if it's a Talmud. And what? And only that, Chesech Shift Esayim B'no. And your child, if you don't discipline your child, Shlomo Melech says, if you hold back from disciplining your child, it's Esayim B'no, it's like you hate him. There's many, many psukim and many halachas that tell us that we have to yell and we have to scream in the right way, obviously, at the discipline and so on. And how would a mechanech or mashpia al derech or baral abelze be matzliach? In the Olam HaPshat, there's no answer. You're right. It can't work in the Olam HaPshat. But whoever comes into the Dalet Amos, whoever comes into the Dalet Amos of Rabbi Arla Belzer enters into the world of Schus and enters into that place of being in the presence of someone who sees the Amos, who he really is, how good he really is, and that breaks down all of the costumes and disguises and the masks of Ra. There's a famous story that they say from the Chofetz Chaim. You know that with Shabbos, I'm sure you know there's a famous story. That there was, now we know the rabbi was, but there was a story that that there was a rabbi told over the story that had the Chavetz Chaim. There was a Jew in Radin. There was a young man. There was Chal Shabbos, and the father asked, when crying to the Chavetz Chaim, "What's going to be with my son?" And the Chavetz Chaim said, "Send him to me." And the young man came to the Chavetz Chaim, and after he left the Chavetz Chaim, he never was Michal Shabbos. He didn't explain to anybody. He just came right back to Shabbos. He was in the Chavetz Chaim for 2 minutes. Walked out, Shem Shabbos. So the rabbi said over this story, you know, it's famous. The rabbi said this story over, where I read it, he was in Miami, and he said over the story, this goes back quite a few years ago, and the rabbi ended it by saying, this rabbi gave this speech, he said, If only I knew what the Chavetz Chaim said. If I knew what the Chavetz Chaim said. It's chaval, we don't know what the Chavetz Chaim said. So supposedly what happened was that there was an old Jew that got up from the back of the room there, and he said, "I know what the Chavetz Chaim said because that was me." And he said what the Chavetz Chaim did was that he took my hand, and he was holding my hand, and he said, "Azai Taira Hand, such a precious, beautiful hand, such a shame it has to burn in Gehenna." And then he started to cry on my hand, and he just said Shabbos 100 times, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. And I felt my hand was on fire. And that was it, I was done with Chil Shabbos. So the rabbi thinks he could do that. If that rabbi would take somebody's hand and cry in it for the hand, Biz Morgan, he'd cry in it for 120 years. The guy just would shake off the water. But the Chavetz Chaim, when the Chavetz Chaim said such a beautiful hand, the Chavetz Chaim said Shabbos, Shabbos. And it turned his life around. But Chavetz Chaim lived in the world of Schus. Now, you or I would not be successful. In other words, we would be fired. If you or I would be assigned a class, you get a job someplace in some yeshiva, and you have the guys that are doing all kinds of various, and you stand there and you say, let's say the Michal Shabbos, you say, Shabbos, 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 Shabbos. They'll take you out after 2 days. You finish with, maybe the first day, you finish with your job. They said, what's the matter with you? You're supposed to give a curriculum about Shabbos. You're supposed to show the Lamates Malachas. And you have to then bring down from all the Rishonim and Achrayim, and you have to use the smart board, and show on the smart board all the Dinim of Shabbos, and explain the importance of Shabbos, what's the Reis, what's the Rabbanan, and you're standing like a moron saying Shabbos for 2 hours. That's what happened to us. And you're right, we wouldn't be Matzliach as Mashpim Mechad. But Chavetz Chaim was Matzliach. He was Matzliach. Because he saw in this Jew, he saw Shabbos in this Jew. And he felt Shabbos in the Jew. And he lived in that place of Shabbos. And he heard inside, he heard the scream. And therefore, he brought that Yid into the world of Schus, like in the Torah of Azamra, in Reish Pei Beis, Lekut Emaran. The tzaddik sees the etzem of the Jew, sees the etzem of who the person is, not the levushim. All of us see the levushim. Therefore, you're right. We can't be mashvim mechanchim that in such a way. Because we live ourselves in the levushim, and we can only communicate in that world of levushim, of garments, of coverings, of disguises. So the same way you have to get up in front of the classroom and act like some sort of a competent, you know, professor. So you're also acting, and the kids are acting. Everybody, it's one big Broadway production. But that's not where Rabbi Lebelzer lived. He didn't live on Broadway. He lived in Nishmas Yisrael, and in Nishmas Yisrael, in that place of Nishmas Yisrael, when you came near Rabbi Lebelzer, if you've ever had the schus of being in the presence of one of these tzaddikim, of this type of a tzaddik, then you wanted to be better, because you felt that the tzaddik saw through everything, and that you're in that completely transparent state that you're in the presence of the tzaddik. You're able to feel also that you're a yid, that you're not the person that other people think that you are, and you're not even the person that you think that you are. You're the person that the tzaddik knows who you are. The tzaddik knows who you are. Those are the stories that we have from the tzaddikim, the people like they smile, Chas Kol Kovod Shabbos, Chas Kol Kovod Shabbos. Some Isa from the Kshanavim, Chas Kol Kovod Shabbos. So people live. And the tzaddik saw that this Jew was a Yid of Shabbos. Everybody else in town saw him as some sort of an idiot. He saw Chas Kol Kovod Shabbos. The tzaddikim lived in such a world. Many I would say that most of the stories, most of the stories of the tzaddikim are on this nakuda. I mean, in their interaction with other Jews. And we find these stories entertaining and sweet, but they're not from Olam HaPshat. It's not from Olam HaPshat. You can't imitate that. And a chadami, can that be used successfully in chinuch and hashpah? But I said before, as I was saying, that the emes is that if we would try, even people like us, if we would try to use that more in hashpah, and as I said, I've seen this with a few families, it has tremendous koyach to make these children into something very, very, very great. It's kedai to try, but it's hard, because we're not in that world ourselves. We don't even look at ourselves that way.
To try
with everything with the students and with the children, to try to be malam eschus, to try to see it only in a good way. In a good way. So you have some kid there, and he's standing there, and he's breaking the window when you walk into class. Like, you know, he's throwing another kid through the window. I had a mice like that in 7th grade, where I was. So he's throwing a kid through the window. I mean, the kid didn't go all the way through, just his head went through. But he's throwing a kid through the window. And you stand there and you say some sort of, Mistami holds like... he must hold like this sheet. And he wanted to let in more air for the other Jews in the room. And it was an emergency. The Mistami, the window was stuck and he had to let more air in. And probably this guy had something wrong and he had a twitch. And the only way to help him was by knocking his head into the window. And, you know, you're out of your mind. Because in the world of child, you know that this kid has problems. He's throwing the kid out the window. You can't allow such things to happen. In the world of Pshat, this is a dangerous kid. But in the world of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, in the world of Sight, it's not possible that a Jew would intentionally harm another Jew. It's just not possible. He's screaming. He's crying. There's something else that's bothering him. And you know that when you're dealing with a person who has a lot of issues, and you work with that person, and you spend time with that person, you begin to love that person, and then everybody else in the world is dan lekav chayiv, and you're dan lekav schus. You see, the whole world could say something bad about a kid, but the mother says, "No, my yankel." Because she's the only one that knows. Why? Elanar is a hispalalti. She gives her life over for this kid. Every minute she dies for this kid. So she sees the pnimius of the child. The other people think he's the worst kid in the world, and the mother says that my uncle's a tzaddik. She doesn't see why everybody's so upset with Yankel. And if you try to explain to her, she'll get very upset. Why are you saying bad things about Yankel? You see this with the mother. That means the metzias with every Jew is that every Jew is good. And there's no idea maschus of who he is. And when he's behaving in a way that's not right, the mother knows that he's not happy. He's unhappy, and because he's unhappy, he's acting up. He's acting a certain way. There's something inside, but he wants to be good. He's a Nishmas Yisrael. A person can't make things like that up. You can't fake that. V'chol ha-ma'abarim sh'nishamet tzricha l'avar b'gehenim v'kafar kele v'chadayma, the bottom of the page. And all of the suffering after death, we see that a person has to go through, that a Jew has to go through. Why should a Jew have to go through anything? He's a tzaddik, he's a kaddish, and he's a tar. So how would Rabbi Lebelz or the other tzaddikim say, why does the Jew have to be punished if he's so good? Why punish him if he's so good? Of course, we understand the answer to that. He has to go through whatever he has to go through, in Gehenna, and Kafakel, whatever the punishments are, v'chadayim. Hakol hurak v'bnei shehi neshama kedosha kol kach. It's because this... there's such a big nisham inside of this person. And this nishama must be able to be cleansed and purified, to return to Makor Mechsavta Kedusha, to its root and its source in Kedusha. In other words, the crazy stuff on the outside has to be peeled off to get back, to go back to that place. But that place is the place that Rabbi Shimon lived in. That place, Rabbi Aaron Belzer saw that place. He saw that place. And what about the tzaddikim who were very tough on Jews, like Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz and other tzaddikim were famous, they were very hard on Jews. It was a way of breaking through and getting to that place inside. Because they saw the place inside. There are different methods. There were tzaddikim whose way was by actually saying the limud zchus. Everything is gevaldik, this guy's a tzaddik. And there are other tzaddikim whose way was zreik marbet talmidim, like the Kotzke. And Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz, it was to give to scare. There was a thing that gave a slap and so on, was to break through. But they lived in the world of schus. And they saw the toiv inside of that Jew. And they had there were different shittas by the tzaddikim. How do we get to that toiv? How do you get to that toiv? How do you uncover the nekudas, ayahadas inside this person? There are different shittas by the tzaddikim. There were some shittas, there were those that did by midas adin, those were midas chesed. There were different ways that the tzaddikim did things. But we know from Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz, who was the hardest, we know from the story by Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz, that he was mamish to give up his whole olam haba, to be poor than a Jew. Because one time when he did something very, very, he humiliated and embarrassed a Jew in public. And one of the chassidim asked, Rabbi Kolamalb Mispnei Chavera, he didn't want to finish the sentence. He asked Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz, how are you able to embarrass a Jew in public? And Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz's mahalach in that was, Adrab, I made a cheshbon that I'll lose Olam Haba. But the only way that I can get through to this guy is by screaming at him and by embarrassing him in front of other people. That's the only way to get through to him. Which now there's such a thing, yeah, it wouldn't work. But he saw that in that person. And the same person who everybody used to say, Baruch Meshbitz, so the way he talks to people and yells at people. What about Kolam Alban Pnei Chavei Abraham? What do you mean you're embarrassing a Jew in public? No, Baruch Meshbitz. He's Makabal, the Yisurim of Gehenna. We're not allowed to talk like that. We just have to follow halacha. We're not allowed to embarrass people, period. Can't bring a raya. If me or you would yell at somebody in public and say, "Why, Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz? What can I do?" Well, the Ragachev used to talk this way. You know, used to take Rosh Hashivas and Gedolim used to like shmat as he wiped the floor with the way he spoke to people. So we're not masik. How these tzaddikim, they lived it. The Ragachev altogether lived in a different place. It was a side. He was a side. Therefore, a person has to go through whatever he has to go through. The kol zman shle zikcha es atzmav le niftra mikol chatoer, the top of 22, the zuhamas agoyim, that this person has to be purified and cleansed of all the filth that he picked up in this world. And until that time, any yachol lagilasha. This Jew has to be, things have to be, the covers, the layers have to be peeled off. V'zayis sarach kol adam Yisrael l'kvor l'hashirish ba'atzmai, shu kodosh, every Jew has to out within himself to understand, to believe. Shehu kodosh, u'kedushah sehi nairov nizgova admai. Our kedusha is nizgova, nairov nizgova, is awesome, nizgova admai, in ourselves. The Kedusha is so great, we're not masik at all, our own Kedusha. All of this is in the Lashonis of all the Sramah Kedusha. When you learn all the Avad Yisrael, the Kushit Samagid, the Oiv Yisrael, all the Sramah Kedusha, these are the Lashonis of the Sramah Kedusha. This is the world that the Talmud Yav Hashem lived in, this world. Again, were there other tzaddikim that were not from Talmud Yav Hashem? Were there other tzaddikim? There was a Yachid here and a Yachid at Tzad today, but that the entire Besamedrish of the Baal Shem Tov was in this world. The whole Besamedrish of the Baal Shem Tov was in this world. V'alkein yim muchorach lagiyah pam l'madrega n'ala b'yoyeser. Therefore, eventually, every Jew has to come to that exalted madrega. The common mikros malema shahim miidim akedushas Yisrael, and the Sfarim always bring these psukim that talk about kedushas Yisrael. K'mar makosuk kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani, kedoshim tiyu. You have to be kadosh. You can be kadosh. Why? Ki kadosh ani, because I'm kadosh. What does that mean? I'm kadosh because I am inside of you. I Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I'm inside of you. Ki am kadosh atlo Hashem lokecha b'chol borcha Hashem lokecha liyos loy la'am skula la'am skula mikol ha'am meshal pnei ha'adam. All these psukim. We can't read these psukim fast. We have to think about these psukim and to know they're not just talking about Jews from the time of the Torah, they're talking about now. The Chavis Lavav says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used every Hebrew term, every possible term the Baruch Shalom used to describe the greatness of the Jewish people, the Kedush of Am Yisrael. Whatever words you could use to talk about something that's precious, that's valuable, that's a treasure, those are the words that Hashem used describing each and every Jew. That's the world that Hashem lives in. These are the words of, this is how Hashem talks. Am kodesh skulim mikolamim. Achoisi rayosi, the whole Shir Hashirim. Achoisi rayosi. You can go out of your kelim when you say to say Shir Hashim, to the words of Shir Hashim. Achoisi rayosi. Hashem Baruch Hu says about us. The lashonis that Hashem uses when He speaks about us, and He's not talking about only tzaddikim. He's talking about Amcha Beis Yisrael. In the Baruch Hashem's world, even the lowest Rosh and the biggest Pesheya. Achoisi rayosi tamasi. Mum Einbach, you're totally unblemished. What do you mean, Mum Einbach? The guy's from head to toe, he's blemished. So the Navi Yishai says bad about Jews on his Madrega. And the Mishnah says, what do you think you're doing? And then Yishai says, what do you mean? I thought I'm just saying the truth. I'm being sent to give Musa to Am Yisrael. So the Navi Yishai says, I'm sitting in a nation among people who have filthy, impure lips. And the Baruch Shalom punishes him. So what are you talking to Jews like that? And the Rabbi says, what do you mean? I thought that's my job. I said, so what are you talking about? If I tell you something, you say what I tell you to say. I don't need your editorial reports on Am Yisrael, what a Jew is and what a Jew. I know what a Jew is. So what's Yishai supposed to say? I'm sitting among people of impure lips. And for that, he gets a patch. We're not asking this at all. All these lashonos that they use. This is the sugi of Kedush Yisrael, and this is the sugi of Ahav Yisrael, the Talmid Basham. We're on fire in this inyan. On fire. Every Torah from the Talmid Basham is this nakuda of Kedush Yisrael, of Ahav Yisrael, that Chassidus took something which is in Torah, which is in Pnimis Torah, which is in Nazar Kaddish, which is in Chazal, which is in Chumash, which is in Shir Hashim, but they built it into an entire mahalach and Avodas Hashem. That's the chiddush. An entire mahalach and avodas Hashem. Go to have marvel, which Hashem will continue next.
There's going to be a minion for marvel here.
We can have marvel here in the room?